Before an evolutionary worldview can be established in a positive sense, we must look at the troubled history of social Darwinism. If grave social injustices were committed in Darwin's name, such as withholding welfare from the poor, forced sterilizations, racial discrimination, and outright genocide, then this is truly dangerous territory. But this rendering of social Darwinism is largely a myth, and the true history is far more interesting and complex. Darwin's theory, properly understood, is centered on cooperation, and Darwin and others were clear about this from the beginning. Now and then. Let's begin with the modern meaning of the phrase social Darwinism. Type it into your favorite search engine, and you'll see thousands of references to the strong gaining at the expense of the weak. Former U.S. President Barack Obama was fond of using the phrase in attacks on his Republican opponents, as in a 2012 speech when he called a budget proposed by the U.S. Representative Paul Ryan thinly veiled social Darwinism. Two facts can quickly be established about these usages. First, the phrase social Darwinism, or social Darwinist, is almost always used as a pejorative to describe someone else's position. People don't call themselves social Darwinists. They are called social Darwinists by their opponents. Second, the people who are labeled social Darwinists seldom actually use Darwin's theory of evolution to justify their position. The idea that Paul Ryan and his associates would use Darwin's theory to argue in favor of their budget is downright funny, since a vocal portion of this constituency denies evolution altogether. So many books and articles stretching back to the 19th century have been digitized that it is possible to comprehensively search for the phrase social Darwinism to trace its origins and history of use. Jeffrey M. Hodgson, a contemporary scholar of Darwinism in relation to human affairs, has performed the Herculean task of tracking down every usage of the phrase in JSTOR, an electronic database of academic journals. He shows that the phrase began to be used during the late 19th century, and the context was exactly the same as in the present. As he puts it, the label was used primarily by leftists to pin upon their opponents. Hodgson also discovered that the phrase was hardly used at all until popularized by Social Darwinism in America, a book published by the historian Richard Hofstadter in 1944. This means that during the period when many of the abuses associated with social Darwinism occurred, such as eugenics policies in the United States and Britain and Nazi policies leading to the Holocaust in World War II, the term social Darwinism was rarely used by either proponents or opponents of the policies. To summarize, from the very beginning and throughout its history, the term social Darwinism has been used as a pejorative to describe policies that justify the strong taking from the weak in various forms. People hardly ever call themselves social Darwinists, and those who are accused almost never actually use Darwin's theory to justify their position. To a remarkable extent, Darwin's theory stands falsely accused. Since the term social Darwinism proves to be such an unreliable guide, let's look back on some of the major protagonists of early evolutionary theory to see what they thought about the role of competition in the betterment of society, including some of Darwin's predecessors, Darwin himself, and those who were influenced by him. The cleric. Thomas Robert Malthus, 1766 to 1834, was a British cleric and scholar whose essay on population growth helped both Darwin and Alfred Russel Wallace to independently formulate their theories of natural selection. Malthus observed that populations will inevitably grow to exceed the capacity of resources available to sustain them, and therefore will be checked by famine and disease. As a cleric, he concluded that this situation must be divinely imposed to teach virtuous behavior. Misery was part of God's plan and should not be impeded by well-meaning but short-sighted attempts to improve the lot of the poor. God's plan should be allowed to take its course. Needless to say, this was a departure from traditional Christian doctrine, which mandates extending charity to the poor. Malthus was not totally heartless in the development of his thesis. For example, he thought that moral constraint on the part of the poor was superior to famine and disease. But in either case, he argued against the poor laws, which was the government's social welfare system at the time. Malthus's work, in addition to inspiring the theory of natural selection, influenced the early development of economic theory.